That's what we love. We just love just being in the presence of God. Amen. We want to be people of his presence. That's important as we host the presence, as we go forward. I mean, there's nothing better and glorious than that, right? So we just thank God that we have liberty here and freedom. And I just praise God for the testimonies and the declarations that you contribute to cause God to be ushered in this morning in a new way. So we absolutely love that because we feel like it's the body ministers to the body, right? We all have something to deposit. We all have something to give. It's not about, you know, us up here or anything like that. We all have the Spirit of the living God within us. And as soon as we realize that, I think that empowers us. Amen? Like, we don't have to wait somebody to lay hands on us or do anything because there's the power of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ flowing within our veins. Amen? And so I think we need to come to the awakening of that truly and fully, because there's so many things that will tell you that we're not this, we're not that, we're not this, we can't do this. But it's all limitations, and God is breaking off the limitations off his people. Amen? So this year, as we're going into a new season, come on, we're just declaring that God is breaking off, setting us free, breaking off limitations. Amen? Come on. That we can expect more, receive more. I mean, God is on it. God is a generous God. God's an overflow God. God is not holding back. Come on. And he wants us to come into the realization that we are a son. We have sonship. We're not servants. We're sons. He calls us sons. And so what we have is we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. And what we need to do is we need to treasure that inheritance. I think about Esau. You know, he didn't understand his inheritance. Do you remember the story with Jacob and Esau? And Esau traded his inheritance for basically a bowl of beans, because he was at a weak moment, right? And he forgot who he was, and he forgot his inheritance. He was the firstborn, which meant he actually got a double inheritance because he was the firstborn. But he gave it up at a weak moment and said, you know, I'll trade it. You know, and sometimes we, at a weak moment, we're trading our inheritance and, you know, our mindset for what God really wants for us. So we need to come into realization of that we have so much in God, and we need to come into even like a discovery and an awakening of that, of who we are in God, because we no longer can play church. Come on, we are the church. We need to know that we are strengthened. We talked about, you know, being strengthened in the Lord, and it's from strength to strength and glory to glory. It's because it's his strength, it's his glory that is infused in us, amen, to make a difference in this world. So we need to just come in agreement with that and receive that, because there's no striving in that. That's what religion does. Religion makes us strive for things that God has already given us. Think about it. Gosh, we need to break off any kind of spirit of religion that maybe we've learned and participated in, and realize that these are gifts. God is a giver. God has given us all things. All things. There's nothing that he has withheld from us. And so I just, oh man, there were so many things going through my mind the other day. I just kind of a little rabbit trail here, but maybe not. But as I was thinking about how perfect love casts out all fear, that scripture, are we familiar with that, right? How love, his perfect love, his love that can do no wrong, his love that loves us perfectly with no flaw, with no agenda, but only to see our very, very, very best and bring us to the awareness of who we are, that kind of love, that perfect love, cast out, and that's a heavy word, cast, it's violently throw down fear. His perfect love violently throws down fear. And then I got in this, you know, I don't know about you, but I get in these discussions with God. When God brings me some revelation, sometimes I say, okay, God, you know, I have this conversation. I want you to kind of just give me some revelation about that. And it was just like I had this little conversation with God about is there any way, we can possibly live completely free of fear. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, really. I mean, there's so many things to fear about, and hasn't it been a world of fear out there? Everything on the media, it's fear-based, right? We see it, we're worried about it, we see everybody entangled in it, and it's sad. But I just thought, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, can we live a life totally free from fear? Can we? Do you believe? I mean, not to fear, no anxiety about anything. You know, and that just really witnessed to me, Susie, when you brought up about this archway of trust. And I saw this archway. When you said that, I didn't know what it looked like, but you said it was gorgeous, and I saw all these gems on it. All these gems and different beautiful things that we come under when we come under trust. And it's just like, this is where we need to live, in the trust. Not in what I can do, but what God can do. Who God is in me. So our trust is not limited at all. Our ability is not limited at all. Whatever we go through, we're not limited at all when we trust God. And it's just that, Lord, help me come in to that full understanding, because really it's not that he hasn't given it to us. It's just that we haven't come into the understanding and the revelation of it. Amen? So it's like we need to come under trust and know that his perfect love violently throws down every fear. Wow. Wow. You know, and then every time there's a situation where you have reason in the natural to fear, we cast that down and we put it under love. You know, don't give in to the narrative, because there's a narrative all the time to mistrust God, fear things, because we haven't come to the understanding of how great, how powerful, how our God is for us. We have not come into realizing and opening our understanding how amazing our God is. And so fear sets in. We worry about our family, we worry about our jobs, we worry about, there's a zillion things we can worry about, right? But you know, when we're under the archway of trust, we can find that perfect peace that casts out all fear. His perfect peace, his perfect love to cast out all fear. We have nothing to fear, for if God is with us, right, who can be against us? Wow. I mean, just think about that. Every time you have a situation where you feel like I'm worried about something, it's usually because it's out of our control, right? But you know what? That's okay, because it's in God's control, where it needs to be. So we just have to recognize that when things are out of my control, doesn't mean that it's out of control, because it's in God's control. Because everything that happens to me, if I am in Christ, then every circumstance is in Christ. Think about it. Every problem, God has given a solution. So why do I worry? Why do I fret? Right? So we need to come into that, under that arch of trust. I love that. That was amazing. That was so cool. I was seeing a picture of that, and I was just thinking, wow, we need to just come under that and enter into that. It's a real thing. It's a real thing that we can come in and enter. You know, when we talk about stuff, it's not just words. It's about really encounters with God, about having that relationship with God that causes us to have an encounter of his perfect love and trust. You know, and so, wow. Anyway, so that's what the Lord was doing to me this week, just kind of talking to me about not to worry. Because, you know, there's a couple things we can worry about. We look at how the world is. We look at some of our situation. And I believe, I'm going to just speak prophetically, there's change in the air. There's a wind of change. And I really believe that, you know, a lot of times when there's change or there's uncertainty, there's some kind of fear because we don't always know what's going on, da-da-da-da. But you know what? We are being led out with, this is the word the Lord gave me in the beginning of the year, be led forth with, be, go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So we're always in joy. We're going out with joy. We're going into an increase of what God has with joy, and we're being led forth with peace. His peace, his perfect peace. Amen? So we have no fear. So we need to enter into that this morning. Amen? So one of the things that as a kingdom culture, we did the kingdom culture through Bethel a while ago, but I felt like we needed, like, I don't know, the Lord just said, we need to have hope in the glorious church. And I felt the Lord kind of just highlight something with that, that we, understanding we are the church, right? So we need to have hope in what God's put within us. We always look at ourselves very humanly, don't we? And very naturally, in the natural. But God sees us as supernatural because he put his spirit in us. Doesn't that seem kind of weird to say, I'm supernatural, but you are? And so it's kind of hard to take, you know? But it's true because we're going to live forever. We have eternity in us. So we are actually supernatural. I don't have to look anywhere but inside of me, my union with Christ to have a prayer answered or go to God, because I know that he is in me. He is with me. His glory is in me. And so we have this hope. We have this hope in us. Remember the scripture? The hope of glory in us. So what is hope? What is hope? Is it hope like what the world gives? I think hope like the world gives is like, I wish something would happen. It's more like a wish. I wish something would happen. Maybe this will happen. You know, I mean, they do say hope, but hope in biblical sense, it's really a joyful expectation of something that's going to happen. So we have an expectation. We are not one that hopes without it, something coming forth. Amen? Because God has given us hope, and he makes things sure. So hope is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that what God has promised in his word is true. Right? Hope is never static. It's never passive. But it's dynamic, active, and it's a directive. It's life-sustaining. When we have hope. So we need to understand we have hope. We have hope, and God has his hope within us because we are his glorious church. Hard to imagine, right? Sometimes to take that in, but that's the truth of it. Because so long the church has said, we're nothing but sinners, we're never good enough, da da da. We're always separated from God, always trying to earn our way. We don't, you know, it's just like we're still trying to be righteous when God said he gave us the gift of righteousness. But, you know, we've learned, honestly, a lot of religion. We've learned how to try to, whatever, pull God's strings and make him do something for us. So wrong. Because it's about relationship. It's about the relationship he has for us and with him, so that we are the sons of God. Amen? So, anyway, he's giving us this amazing commissioning as a church, as the church. You know, even though we're small in number, doesn't mean we're not big in spirit. And not only, you know, because people, I mean, the world has a measuring stick of what they think is successful. But God looks at success so different. Success is really knowing the will of God and doing it. And if we're doing what God wants us to do, we're all going to be successful. I mean, individually, corporately, even as a church, because it's about being obedient to his will. You know, it can look all different ways, though. But, you know, the fact is that we hear God. I think that was awesome about hearing God, Jim, and about really honing in what he's saying so that we can be actively a partner in what God is doing. So it's awesome. As the church, we are not doing this on our own. We are not doing this out of our ability, but we're partnering up with God of what he wants to do on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we see the church has this great commission. And it says in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, it says, and then Jesus came close to them. I love that picture, that he came close to them. And he said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. So, a great commission. But he said he'd send Holy Spirit. We would not be doing this on our own, because he knows we need Holy Spirit to do that. Amen? But I love the scripture in Romans 8, 19 through 21, where it says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. What if things, maybe the church has to be revealed for things to really start happening. Maybe God wants to take the veil off of us, that we would shine his glory, his goodness. Maybe it's not about trying to change the world, but actually change the church or come into the expectation of what he said we are. Come into the fullness of what he says we are. Wow. So creation waits in eager expectation. I love how the Passion says it. It says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has to endure the empty futility resulting from the consciousness of human sin. But now with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us, the church, the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. You know, judgment starts at the house of the Lord. Have you ever heard that scripture? And a lot of times we think judgment is like punishment. But what if judgment is really just evaluating and see where we are and making a decision to come in agreement with what God says we are? And when we come into that, maybe things will really, you know, things happen in the spirit. When we understand that we have power in our worship, power in our prayer, power in our relationship with him, that when we come into real relationship, there's a power to that, because people are looking for authenticity, aren't they? And our God is real. Our God is power. Our God is light. We're not the light of the church. We're the light of the world. Wow, what a concept that is. But here we are. We have this mission. Our mission isn't to win converts. It's to make disciples, right? And so, disciples. What are disciples? Well, let me tell you. Converts are focused on their values, interests, worries, fears, priorities, lifestyles. But disciples are focused on Jesus and his kingdom. You know, when we say yes to God's kingdom, we come in agreement with God's kingdom, his royal reign and rule, right? And so it's not any longer my needs. Because if I'm truly seeking, as the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And everything else will be added unto me. It's just like sometimes we, you know, if we really grab hold of that, if I'm really truly believing in and seeking God's kingdom, don't you think he's going to take care of anything else that you might have that worries you, that concerns you? That we don't have to, because God said if we seek his kingdom, everything else is added to us. So disciples are focused on Jesus and his kingdom. Converts go to church. Disciples are the church. Converts are involved in the mission of Jesus, but disciples are committed to it. That's a word we don't like to hear. Committed. I don't quite understand that myself, because any sacrifice that we do, his glory so outweighs any sacrifice I have to give. It's just like we're really cheating ourselves when we're not committed to the cause that God has for us, the life God has for us. What are we really giving up when we surrender fully to God and be willing to make any sacrifice? I mean, really, the world has way too much influence. Like we, right? Well, you know, if I get saved, I have to give up this and I have to give up that. Well, what is that? Religion, again, because we enter this amazing relationship with the Lord. Him and me. And if we have this conversation and we have this amazing relationship, it should never be about the do's and the don'ts, right? Converts follow the rules, but disciples follow Jesus. Converts are comfortable. Disciples make sacrifices. Converts talk, but disciples make more disciples. So a disciple is someone who wholeheartedly follows the life and the example of Jesus, who makes his mission their mission, his values their values, his heart their heart. And so a disciple is one who finds their entire identity, purpose, and meaning in Jesus and his kingdom. You know, we enter in with salvation. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Salvation is just one door we go through with God, because it's the first door we come into salvation. But there's so many doors and different things God wants us to discover and go through, because it's about relationship. Isn't the kingdom about relationships? It's about relationships here, and it's relationships here to one another. Amen? And to know Christ and be conformed to Christ should be our greatest goal that we have. And not that we're not, we are, but to come into the realization and the awakening of who we are. It says in Ephesians 5, 20, or 25 through 27, I'm going to just read 27 actually, all that he does, all God does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure, until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. God esteems you. God infuses you with his glory, and that's what the love of God will do. Amen? So he's given us the Holy Spirit, right? We know the scripture in Acts 1:8. He promised us this amazing encounter of Holy Spirit. The old prophets, they had the Spirit come upon them, but this time it's different. New covenant, Holy Spirit in us. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is in us for me, but the Holy Spirit upon us is for our world to share Jesus Christ. Amen? Till the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. In Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." So here we say, we are to arise. He's commanding us to arise. Arise, because the glory of the Lord will be seen upon us. Maybe that seems too lofty, but it's what God says. Can we receive that as truth? Absolutely, because we stand on purpose, and we rise and shine on purpose because His light has come. His light has come within us. Jesus is the light. Come into the world. Come into us. And so we are to rise because of the glory will be seen upon us. So He's actually encouraging us, because you see, it goes on in that same scripture, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the people. Yes, there's challenges, and yes, in the midst of difficulty, but the people of God, we need to rise up and not cower in the face of challenges. Instead, we're going to take our place. We are going to rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And what is the end result? Is that nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You have in you the hope of glory. In a world that is fearful, in a world that has no hope, you can unlock a solution and a key for those around you. I don't want to say take for granted, but understand what you have in you, where we can walk confidently. It says in Acts 2 about the Holy Spirit, when He came, He equipped us. They were all filled and equipped in the Holy Spirit. So it's never about our ability. So what, as the saying goes, He who calls us also equips us. And so we have no excuse. We have no excuse. God wants us to enter into the things that He's called us to do as the church. And this is the hope of the glorious church. We're the glorious church, and we have a message to bring. We owe the world, as we say, an encounter with God. So for God's promise of the Holy Spirit, it says in, Acts 2 or 4. Did I write that down? Sorry. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, your families, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. This was said in the early church, but He's prophesying for us living today. Isn't that awesome? So it's generational. It's carried on. It's not like done that, over with. God has a generational promise. God has a generational blessing for us. And the blessing and the promises of God are Holy Spirit. So we move in this because we're indwelt with the Spirit of God. We're all indwelt with the Spirit of God. If we accepted Jesus as our Savior, it's already done, sealed and delivered by Holy Spirit. So we walk in such power and truth of the Holy Spirit. So another word for church is ekklesia. You've heard us call us the ekklesia. We're the called out ones. It's a Greek word which means legislative assembly or selected one. It's actually a term in Greek for a group of people who have been summoned and gathered together to govern the affairs of a city. Doesn't sound wimpy to me. Sounds like we have a responsibility, though. There's something that God's called us to rule and reign. The church has buckled under. The religion of the church has buckled under. But we need to make a stand of righteousness and justice. Amen? And we're ecclesia. We legislate. We rule. We reign. Like we're talking about reigning in Zion. We reign. We reign with God. We reign with God to bring His kingdom to the earth. Amen? So we have a part, we have a responsibility that we have to come into. That means whatever God is telling us to do, it might be prayer, it might be worship, it might be, you know, ministering to your neighbor, it might be declaring forth the nations to come to Christ. What, you know, it's us being cooperative with the Spirit of God, because He knows the beginning and the end of everything. And we can totally come under that arch of trust and move by His Spirit. Amen? So we're not, you know, so often the church has been so rapture focused, come on, that we're not kingdom focused. We're ready to shoot out of here. When God's saying, no, you're going to occupy. That's what I called you to do. You're an army of light. That was a part of that song, right? The army of light. We come in for the kingdom of God, you know, suffers violence, and violence take it by force, as the scripture goes in Matthew. You know, it's just that there are some times there that we go to war. There are some times when, you know, but it's not like war that you're entering in where it's a striving. I think it's more like entering into the fullness of who you are and allowing the commander-in-chief lead you to where you need to go and do what he needs to do or tells us to do. So it's not like I have to conjure up this strength, because the strength is already in you. Even when you feel weak, doesn't the word say, you know, let the weak say, I am strong? That's a declaration. That's a rally call. Because we might feel weak, but we're not. Actually, the word is, I think how the translation, let the weak say, I'm a warrior. Really different, isn't it? That we are strong and powerful in the Lord, in the Lord. And so this is what, you know, this is what Paul exhorted to Timothy. He wanted to pass on this revelation of who we are as the church, that we need to, as the church, model, we need to teach, we need to live powerfully in the grace of God. And that's what makes it all possible. So often we thought of grace as just unmerited favor. Okay, I got saved because it was the grace of God. True. But the grace of God, let me read a definition. Grace is His working ability to help you make you what you could never be on your own. Grace is the empowering presence of God to enable you to become the person that God already sees you when He looks at you. He sees you much more powerful than you probably see yourself in the mirror. But we need to see that, because we mirror the very reflection of the Lord, of who we are. Grace, unconditional, unmerited, indescribable favor from God to become all who God's created us to be. Grace is also a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just want to leave with this, that we carry this hope that you know that you are the glorious church. And you carry a solution to every problem in this world. That's what God created the church to be, a solution, not a problem. We are not a problem. We are a solution. And even though the world is dark, they'll come to the light. You know, you see the world get kind of worse and worse, right? But in fact, it just makes the light shine that much more brighter. And what happens is they're going to wear themselves out and they're going to say, I need some hope. So I'm going to go to someone that knows hope, that can give me peace, that can give me joy. They're going to be looking for that. Because you see what's happening in the media. It just gets worse and worse. They contradict all the things that they say. It's changed every other day. Something's different. Mask, no mask, you know, COVID. Then 1 minute you're okay, 1 minute you're not. And I mean, it's so unstable. isn't it? And so negative. But this is so good because it's a setup. It's a setup. So when you see it getting worse, know it's going to be a setup for God's glory to even shine brighter in you. Amen? Come on. Amen. So we need to have eyes of faith. We need to believe and come and look in a different realm. So often we're looking in a natural realm. We need to come up and look in the heavenly realm and see God's perspective and see what he sees. Is there any time God is wringing his hands worried? Is there any time that he has lost hope and said, I don't know what to do? But this is how we sometimes treat our situations. Like God is like totally out of the picture. He is not an absent God. He is a strategic God. Believe me, he is a strategic God. Even, you know, he does things so covertly. We don't even know some of the things. He is so wise. He makes the wisdom of men foolishness. So it's just like, wow, we serve an amazing God. He goes way beyond. So we can trust him fully for every single need we have personally, corporately as a body, corporately as a church, corporately, you know, believing for our nation to make a turnaround. Amen? Because we know God is still on the throne. And even we have hope. We have hope. You know why we have hope? Hope beyond hope. Hope against hope, as the word says, right? Hope against hope. I think it's in Romans 4. Abraham had hope against hope, right? Well, what is hope against hope? Hope is divine hope swallowing up natural hope. Divine hope. Hope we get from him. Hope that's in us. The resurrection power in us and through us because we are in this together with God. We are in union with us together. He desires for us to go on the mountains. Didn't you read that, Susie, about coming on the mountains and leaping on the mountains with the Lord? Ascending in the mountains like Jim was talking about. Coming up and seeing from that perspective. Because if we keep looking down here, we'll miss it. Because we're looking with natural eyes and we need to come into the full perspective of what God says. Can we know that? Yes. Don't let anybody tell you no. Right, Jim? Because yeah, we can hear God. God created us to be prophetic people, to hear. Prophetic means to hear. We need to hear God. God will tell his mysteries and his secrets to us. Come on, you're in on the secret. But we need to spend that time and we need to understand who we are. We need to take the limits off that you know, the world will tell us you can't, or I can't, or even a spirit of religion say, I can't do it unless I pray 100 hours or no. God, God is so real in our lives. He'll just, at a blink of an eye, he can give you a revelation you don't have to strive to find. He'll give you it when you need it. Just like Amanda, you were saying, at that one moment, God revealed a solution for you. So this is where we live in this kind of relationship with God. And when we think of it less than that, we're diminishing what God always wanted for us. To live like this. This isn't fairyland Pollyanna stuff. This is true stuff God has called us to live in. Right? And so, you know, we might be really coming into some revelation that sometimes as forerunners, which I believe a lot of us are forerunners, that, you know, when you pick up a revelation, you're blazing a trail. And so it's going to look weird. It's going to look different. It's like, I don't know about that kind of thing. But you know what? I'm really beginning to feel the revelation is knowing we are in union with God. We are in oneness with God. We are not separated from God. We are not trying to get close to God. God is in us. We are one with God. I have that so strong in my spirit because then we can move in the power of the Holy Spirit in oneness with God. And then it's not our power. And then we can believe. And then we can be confident because it's not about me. It's about the Spirit of God in me. Amen? So let us think on these things. Let us think on these things. That yes, we are called overcomers. We are hyper overcomers, more than overcomers in Christ. And we've been trained. We're being trained to overcome these things and be developed. And it starts with a hunger to know God's heart for us and what God has said about us. We don't enter into fear. We belong to God. We belong to Him. We conquer with Him. For He is living in us. For greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And some of us learn that scripture, but the impact of really that scripture, God living in us, greater is He in us. We are not having to look out here. It's already in here. Why do we do that? Why do we look out here when something's God already put in here? It's like buried treasure. Come, and the Lord said, and discover all the things I put within you. We're to overcome. Yes, we might see some things we're in the world, not of the world. We might have some persecution, some suffering. Come on, I'm going to be honest. But we have nothing to fear. Because if God be for us, what can be against us? Amen? So we've been given this great responsibility. And we have this supernatural power to bring about transformation. Isn't God about transformation? It's not about a little tickle here and there. It's about true transformation. Even though I like tickles too, but I mean, you know what I mean? Experiencing God, but it's for our transformation, for us being transformed and for the world. And so we have to refuse to empower the devil and dispower the church. We've given the devil way too much. When you start talking too much about how wicked the world is or how evil the devil is, we know all that. I mean, I know it's a spiritual warfare. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But when you give too much, you're putting that above God. Really, your thoughts are going... I don't have to say anymore, right? But this is a point where this is where the church has been. You know, it's just that we think the devil's stronger than we are. When God is saying, wake up, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has shone upon you. So we're going to go out with that. And we just thank the Lord that His promise is good, that He's given us everything we need. We have nothing to fear because He is for us. He is with us. He never leaves us. He never abandons us. And so He'll give us everything we need when we need it. Amen? So, Father, I thank You. I thank You that it's a new season. I thank You, Lord, that You want to do something new. I feel the Lord said, I want to do something new. Father, in this time, it's spring. The winter is past. The spring is here. And so I declare over you that you're coming into a new awareness of who you are, that you're going to be contagious with the fire of God, that you're going to contend and persevere in prayer for God's will to be done on earth, that you're an answer. You're an answer. I declare that your kingdom come, your will be done, God, in all of our lives as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank you, Lord. I just feel the Lord wants to release new dreams this season. That we are coming into a new season. And the Lord has said, dream again. What in the last season maybe felt like was shut down, God said, dream again. I'm going to give you new vision. I'm going to give you new dreams for the season. There's things that people in their workplaces, I believe there's new strategies, new blueprints from heaven of how to run your businesses. I feel that the Lord is going to cause you to come into a new level of trust. I see the Lord saying He's breaking off all the limitations of your family and your family line. Whew, Jesus, I felt the Lord breathe on that. So, Father, we thank you right now that we, as Zion, are breaking off the captivity of those in our family. And we come in agreement with you of what you're working in. And we are thanking you right now that, God, you are, Lord Sabaoth, the one that delivers. And so, Father, I thank you even right now. You're causing us to come into and ride a new wave of the Spirit. No longer you're going to put your big toe on the shoreline and stick your toe in the river, but actually you are going to jump in this year. Unhindered. Free. And you will feel the overflow of the river gushing over you. I see a cascading of the river coming over you. No longer dead, but fully and completely alive in knowing who you are. That everywhere you go, you spread the glory of God and you bring forth light and life. In Jesus' name, amen.